All right, Sunday morning, 7:23. This is a teaching, naming, and mapping the powers, part 3. All right, go to Ephesians chapter 12. 6:12. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And we looked at the last one. We were looking at some of the demonic entities that are mentioned in the Bible. Principality here is chief, order, time, place, rank, magistrate, power, principle, or rule. Now I want you to remember time. That's one of them, time. As we go forward here, we'll come back to that. All right? Whatever we're seeing in the natural realm, remember, it happened in the spirit realm first before it manifested in the natural realm. Because of the fall in Genesis 3, it set off a chain reaction. The curse came into operation on the earth, okay? From blessing to curse. We went from heaven to earth to hell to earth. And then God sent Jesus. How come? Satan was allowed to pillage the earth, and he's still doing the same thing today for those who don't receive Christ Jesus. Yep. He became the god of this world system. We do see throughout the Old Testament history, times and seasons, when God would raise up a deliverer. We see it all through the Old Testament. He'd raise up Elijah the prophet to confront Jezebel and Jehu, king, that took out Jezebel, you know, different things, Elisha and his time, and different ones, Moses delivering the children of Israel out. All right, we see that throughout history. They were seasons where God said, enough is enough. And I want you to remember, Satan only has a season. He has no more. So all their big plans, their 20, 30, and all this stuff that they're doing, they have a season. And when God says enough is enough, it's over. All right. We do see throughout Old Testament history times and seasons when God would raise up a deliverer to help to take the oppression from God's people and help them, and through a godly leader gain some ground by getting back into his will. See, they would stray from God, and it would get so bad that God would let the enemies come in and overtake them. And then after a season of years, God would say, like with Babylon, they were in Babylon 70 years. Then he'd raise up somebody else. And then he'd restore them back to their land. They'd get back under God, and they'd get to listening to God again, and then God could start operating and help them again, and, you know, all that stuff. All right? Never forget, the earth has been given to man to occupy, not Satan. Even though he's the god of this world system, there is an earth lease that is running out, because 6,000 years is all that was given man on the earth. This present darkness, if you might term it in that way. God intervenes when we ask him to in this darkness. Okay? It is true in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. All right. God has always listened and answered to the request of his people, natural Israel and spiritual Israel. There is no natural Israel anymore, only spiritual Israel. Because when a Jew becomes a Christian, they become spiritual Israel. Now, I guess there are natural Jews by lineage, but that over there is not over there anymore. You know, and that's going to be a big shock to the church, because we've all been scammed on that one. All right. In the Old Testament, God told Israel this. This is Numbers 23:55 or 33:55. He would told them that they wouldn't take care of things. See, he gave the earth to man, and he told him to occupy. Jesus told us to occupy. And when we don't, this is what happens. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. So we don't do it the same way. In the old covenant, he told them to kill everything, you know, most of the time. But in the New Testament, we take the gospel in and infiltrate. We change a heart and a mind. God does. And that's how we do it. Spiritual Israel does it different than physical Israel did. 2 Peter chapter 2. See, that's a problem. A lot of teaching in the church, it's like it mixes the two. You can't mix the two. All right. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be. This is verse 1, chapter 2 of 2 Peter. But there are false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live godly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them is in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I'm thinking, well, why did you move there? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise the government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. I encourage y'all, whenever you're reading stuff, when you come across a word you don't know about, go look it up. Like, what does it mean, government here? Yeah, go look it up. You'll glean a lot out of what it'll give you more meaning to what you're reading. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Man, we see this today, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. See, he was a necromancer. He was operating in the spirit one minute and by a demon spirit in the next minute. Aren't we seeing that? Reading tarot cards and saying, it's God? What's wrong with this picture? Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak against swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again are entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. See, a lot of Christians, that's been one of the biggest things that I've been before the Lord about, is all these Christians that are doing all these New Age occult practices. And I'm thinking, Lord, they've returned to the vomit. I mean, bad communication has corrupt good manners. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has returned his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. They forget who they are, who they were. Like we talked about Wednesday night, the myths and the legends have overtaken them. All right. It's always been up to us. Now you can understand why things are the way they are. Throughout history, some did some things and most did nothing. Coming back to the time and the Strong's explanation of principalities, Satan cannot go on forever in any capacity. The evil, I mean, he's eternal, but he will not go on with his evil. This evil fallen angel has convinced a boatload of people that they will have their Nazi world order. Well, he can't tell the truth. He's promising them this utopia, this new world order, Nazi world order. But he won't. He aims to take them down too. Only objective he has is to get back up in the throne. And then he's the ruler. He's going to overthrow God, or so he thinks. All right, we see in the temptation of Jesus this principle, Luke chapter 4. He only has a season. God is eternal and goes on forever, but the devil was a created being, and he has a season because of his treason. All right, Luke 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. See, Nazi world order. All shall be thine. He hadn't changed his narrative. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said, said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time they dash a foot against a stone. Have you ever heard words before and you thought, it sounds right, but something's bugging me? Now you know. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So he has a season of temptation that he brings. He can't just do whatever he wants. He's still on a leash. Just think about that. It comes to an end. All right, season here means an occasion. Set a proper time, opportunity, due, short, or a while. All right, here are some season examples in the Old Testament that God sent in a deliverer. We're not going to read many because there's just too many. First one's in Genesis chapter 11. This is pertaining to resets, like we're going through. Verse 1 says, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Huh, wonder who's behind that. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, and that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of the place called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. This is what they were doing. They were to the place we are, where Satan's thinking he's fixing to have his kingdom. That these deep state people are going to overtake everybody, and they're going to take over heaven. Even the shows and the movie stars, they depicted these things of Satan ascending his throne, killing God and kicking him out of heaven. It isn't going to happen. God let it go so far, then he just kicked it back down, scattered them. They went to rolling everywhere. Yeah. What's that game where you build the stuff and it falls down? It's pieces of wood and you build all this stuff and then...
Jenga.
Okay. Well, that's what it was. All right. Genesis 18. Now, this is a story of Abraham, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing. We're going to start about 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? See, the Lord's wanting to intervene, but he's needing somebody to ask him. He's needing an intervention. He's wanting to intervene to save the ones that are over there that are right. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. You know why? This just came to me, and I'll just speak it out. It's very important that you marry who God brings into your life. It is, as a Christian, it's very important. God has ordained that. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So we know, well, Lord, if there's 50 or 45 or 40, 45, 30, 35, on down to 10. Thing is, I think if he'd have said one, he would have done it. But he couldn't find 10, so he had to destroy the city. But see, God let it go on so long, then he took care of it. Satan only has a season. You'll be remembering that one. He only has a season. So, Lord, you've given me the stuff for the season, right? All right. Exodus 3. Now, this is I was talking about the times where when you start messing with the babies, the Lord gets involved. This was the day of Moses, and Moses was one of those babies that had to be hidden so that he wouldn't be killed by Pharaoh. Firstborn males. All right? So Moses was exiled, and now he's on the backside of the desert. Chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not now hither, put thy shoes off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I surely see the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, and to a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So we see God sent a deliverer. You know, they went through the Passover and all that stuff, and he took out all of the evil. And what happened in the Red Sea? All right? That's just a few. There's others all throughout the scriptures. I do believe that God has raised up men like Noah and Moses and many others. You can go read Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll find some more of them. Many had their season to take back what Satan had stolen. I believe that is our day and hour. We are naming and mapping the powers that be as the Holy Spirit leads us to bring about deliverance for spiritual Israel. My point in this teaching is for you to see that God will not allow the devil to have his way and fulfill his evil plan. He is on the throne and Jesus is sitting with him, and he is saying, Son, it is time. Jesus is saying, Yes, Father, I am ready. We're going to look at a few scriptures and we'll be done. Revelation chapter 9. I want you to see a few of these entities. Now, there's something to be said about their names. These entities. There's a purpose in knowing their names. All right. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings as was the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. All right, these two words mean a destroying angel or the destroyer Satan. I remember back when, what was his name? That did the Q decode so well. Cereal brain. Yeah. Now I missed the one, I never could find it, where they put under the microscope and you could see these little, it described what they look like, these little creatures on with the legs, and they had crowns on their heads and stuff. And you think, whether that is true or not, it sounds good. I don't know. All right, destroying angel. All right, now, Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go unto perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but have power as kings when out of the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So this is a system ruling over us. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So the beast there means a dangerous animal or venomous. Well, this is resurfacing again. They say that the COVID vaccine contains snake venom. Snake venom. Yeah. Harlot is a strumpet or figuratively an idolater. This is the deep state and everything about it. That's what these names, you know, these names have meaning. There's a reason. What they do, even their plan is in their name. You can see why sometimes Jesus, you know, once Jesus asked, what's your name? Sometimes God will give us a name. Yeah. All right, 19. Revelation 19, 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the throne and against his army. What's happening right now? And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with the brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the throne, or the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The principalities and powers are currently known in their world by name, whether we are even aware of it. It may be necessary to call them by name, but their names help us to be aware of their type of oppression, what they are of. That's what I mean. When you come across these names, look them up. I believe we're in the state that the Father is saying, go get them, son. I believe we're on the cusp of that. Okay, son, go get them. Right here, one more passage. This is Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and is right in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He's conquering, cutting off their heads and taking that crown and wearing that crown, his church. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. In fact, I'm thinking, Lord, in the spirit realm, if we could see, we might actually have some crowns. We're warned to let no man take our crown. But when you cut off that head and you take that crown, you've taken that authority. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of God Almighty. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together upon the supper of the great King, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw all the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his arm. I have heard many times this war is against good, between good and evil, against the forces of Satan and the church, God's children. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, whose sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's where I believe we sit. So, when you're reading scriptures and things, make sure you look up those words. Because I do believe by looking up these words, especially names of principalities and different things, you get a picture of what they are and what they're doing. I believe God will give us insight into it. He was explaining it to John. He'll explain it to you too. All right.